The following is a Fourth Hand production.
On the eastern tip of Long Island, New York, sits the sleepy town of Montauk. Known mostly as a summer getaway for New York's affluent, it's busy during the summer, quiet in the winter, and generally not much happens. Oh, and there's an old abandoned military base, but no big deal.
Camp Pirro, as it was called, was decommissioned in 1981, but the radar tower still stands like a giant hulking beast. It's straight out of a science fiction story, which is fitting because Camp Pirro is home to one of the darkest conspiracy theories in U.S. history, the Montauk Project. You see, according to a few whistleblowers, or loons, you can decide, nestled under the unremarkable radar station were 12 levels of hell.
A black site special ops experiment where children were kidnapped, brainwashed, and experimented on for your more basic purposes, such as mind control and encouraging psychic ability, to the more paranormal, like ripping holes in space-time and the ability to create things with their mind.
Were hundreds, if not thousands, of children turned into Manchurian candidates and psychic warriors for the future? Or is it just the mad ramblings of some weird old men? We journey into the Upside Down next to find out on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
We, you silly fools, are not crazy!
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth!
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's a lie.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in Hysteria Nation to the podcast that doesn't always pick topics that have TV shows loosely based on them. But when we do, it is always Stranger Things. This is Hysteria 51.
Alrighty. So we've got Nutty Bars, Bazooka, Pez, Smarties, Pringles, Vanilla Wafers, Apple, Banana, and Trail Mix.
Seriously?
We need energy for our travels.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, I'm your tour guide on this journey into the Upside Down. My name is John Goforth.
Upside Down.
Alongside is my partner in crime and your other tour guide, Mr. Brent Dustin Henderson Hand.
All three of you were being a bunch of little assholes. I was the only reasonable one.
Thanks, John. You know, season two of Stranger Things just came out, and I don't want to ruin anything for anyone, but spoiler alert, still no nudity.
Dude. Those kids
Winona,
are 12 or 13
Winona
years old.
Winona Ryder is aging like a fine wine, albeit, you know, a shoplifty wine. But a fine wine nonetheless. I've been waiting for a good topless scene with her since Heather.
Okay. That's better. I can't help you there, but I think Hopper takes his shirt off at some point. So, you know, you got that going for you.
He is a whole lot of man.
Did you meet Sax know that Winona Ryder is a natural blonde?
Wow, really? How the hell do you know that?
A robot never reveals his secrets.
I'm guessing Google. That other voice you're hearing, like a Chuck E. Cheese robot with less personality, is the one and only conspiracy bot.
That's Rockafire Explosion, John. I'll ask you to address him properly.
Fair enough. C-Bot is a robot Brent cooked up in his lab to be the show's head researcher. Instead, he's just the show's head asshole.
John, that's so kind of you to say, but flattery will get you nowhere. I have a bone to pick with both of you. Preferably your bones, but we'll get to that later. You told me this other meat sack would never be back on the show again. He is, and I'm not happy.
Pecker.
His name is Pecker.
Yes! Returning to us for the last time is the one and only Joe Peck. Welcome, Joseph! Joe, are you a Stranger Things fan? You look like one. I gotta think you watched the show.
Yeah, I watched it. I liked it okay. I don't think I'm the same level of fan as a lot of people, but I enjoyed it.
You're not a big fan of 80s science fiction melodrama? Set in the 80s, I should say.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, I'm a huge fan of it. And I like it right where it was, in the 80s. And on Montauk.
He loved the original V.
Now, what about a nude Winona Ryder?
Keep saying Winona. She's not a
Winona?
Country music singer.
Wait, is it? Is it Winona?
It's Winona.
I thought it was Winona.
Or is it Winona?
Hey.
Or Winane.
You know that
Winane?
Our ex-boyfriend Johnny Depp had
Winona on his arm, Winona Forever, and he had to change to Wino Forever after they broke up. So maybe that's where I get my Winona from. I'm Winona Judd. I actually tried to get my wife this year to dress as the Judds with me.
My wife.
Her being the mom and me. Winona. I'm like, I would just wear like skin tight leggings and a giant red fucking purple.
That sounds like the best idea I've ever heard. Would John be Ashley? I just what, like wear a KU shirt.
I guess.
I think that's her whole persona, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and marry a IndyCar driver.
That's yeah.
Would also be important.
That's I actually didn't know that. I only knew the KU thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
She married one of the most successful of all time, so Dario Franchitti. Irish, shockingly.
I feel like you guys are taking away from the proper point of this episode, which is
Stranger Things.
Winona Ryder's boobs.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Wasn't that the inspiration for the whole show?
So I got an idea. What? Winona Ryder's boobs and kids. I'm in. Oh, and Montauk.
No, in all seriousness.
Oh, no, I meant Hysteria 51.
Yes. And it was also the inspiration for Conspiracy Bot.
Oh. Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, Stranger Things season 2 did just come out. Have you guys started it yet?
Are you talking to the two of us or the listeners?
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're going to respond.
I'm looking for feedback from the listeners right now.
Well, it looks like we have our first caller. And I mean ever, because this is not a call-in show. Hello, you're on the air.
You know, I haven't started yet. I'm going to hopefully later this week have time to binge. I'm hoping I can do it in like 2 sittings.
5 episodes in. There's 9 episodes. If you liked the first season, you're not going to be disappointed. It's nice. So far, it's awesome. Very good.
And if you hated the first season, go fuck yourself.
And if you wanted to see Winona Ryder's boobs, I assume very disappointed.
Very disappointed thus far. I mean, I can't speak to the final 4 episodes.
Great. He's here. You're here. You idiots like the show. We're all bored. Move on with it.
I guess it is time to get into it. We've kind of been yakking back and forth, but
there's a reason
it's,
that
it's
we've
totally
talking.
Worthwhile.
Oh, I see what you did there, John.
Totally.
Thank
what
you.
The hell is Project Montauk? I think everyone's asking. It sure sounds like a strange thing, John.
Zing.
Hey!
Zing.
So why are we talking Stranger Things when we're talking about the Montauk Project?
Stranger
it's
Things.
It's because John owns stock in Netflix, right?
Yes.
That's
yes.
What we were getting at.
I'm actually the CEO. I'm the new acting CEO. No, Stranger Things was loosely based on the Montauk Project.
Not even that loosely.
I was doing some reading online. They say, and I can't prove this. I didn't talk to the Duffer Brothers myself, even though I'm the new CEO. They say that the original script, it had the town that's actually in Indiana, if you watch it now, was originally based in Montauk.
Yeah, and Montauk wants nothing to fucking do with that story at all.
That's not why they changed it. They changed it because they were more worried about the show getting too many ties to like conspiracy theories and less about the story about the kids, and
which is a giant conspiracy theory.
They didn't want to be tied to real life conspiracy
Smart
theories.
Move.
They
Smart
wanted
move.
To be tied to their own lore.
Well, and Montauk is known for its powerful political machine.
Not a year goes by that I don't hear about another candidate being 86th in Montauk. I mean, the body's there. It looks like a French catacomb, I gotta imagine.
Anyway, so yeah, loosely based on Stranger Things, loosely based on the Montauk Project. What is the Montauk Project, Brent?
Well, it's an alleged series of secret United States government projects conducted at Camp Hero or Montauk Air Force Base on Montauk, Long Island. It's the in Montauk.
Here they have good iced tea.
Long Island is mainly forested and shit. It's there's a lot of still wooded areas, and this is in the middle of fucking nowhere.
No, Long Island iced tea.
It's yes. That
stop on my
quite tasty.
Stop on my joke.
I
Thank
will when
you.
They're good. They were said to be.
Oh, but you're laughing at your own.
I'm laughing at
so
you
much laughing.
Laughing
at laughing jokes. But a question. This just occurred to me. Has anyone ever noticed that all these bases where strange things are afoot are always Air Force bases?
Strange things.
Has this been talked about?
It's
like, they're never
funny?
Army or Navy bases,
what,
I feel
what's
like.
What's funny, it's always an Air Force base, and then the Navy ends up being in control sometime. Somehow, half the time.
I think that's only in the movies, dude.
I don't know. The Department of the Navy. We just went over on our last... On our
Wait,
last
isn't the Air Force... Before the Air Force existed.
But isn't the Air Force part of the Navy?
No, that was the Marines were part of the Navy.
Oh, okay.
The Department of the Navy was in charge of everything before the Air Force existed. Then the Air Force came about.
So if you would have listened to our secret space program, you would have known that since the Navy is the oldest, they're in control of all the nefarious deeds that all the government agencies are doing when the military is involved. Thank you for listening.
Must have missed that part. Shocking.
Don't you think that at this point it would kind of ruin his dynamic if he started listening to the show?
It definitely wouldn't, you know, increase his.
You mean instead of protesting it all the time? Picketing outside of the studio.
Yeah, I forgot to ask you, what have you been doing?
Waiting. That's what I've been doing a ton of.
So we're talking about this base, and they say that what was going on there was said to be for the purpose of developing psychological warfare techniques and exotic research, including, but not limited to, time travel, aliens, stargates, astral projection, and the list goes on. And the list does go on, which we're going to get into more of it here later. But the stories about the Montauk Project have circulated since the early 80s. So it's not an old conspiracy, but it's definitely not a new one. And there's three key players when you're going to talk about the story. When I say the story, the one that's been kind of put into the public psyche. And they're Preston Nichols, Al Bielek, and Stuart Swerdlow.
There's three key players because these are the three assholes that actually say the shit's true.
Yeah.
There's no chance, is there, that a man named Stuart Swerdlow actually exists? Like, that's 100% a made-up cartoon character from probably like Rick and Morty or something, right?
It's a reptilian with
that's
a really shitty human mask on.
My name is
Stuart Swerdlow. I promise I am human and I do human things. This is my completely human wife. Also named Swerdlow.
I work for your human military. I mean, military.
That's actually the conspiracy that we're here to talk about.
The Swerdlow effect? That should be a thing if it's not.
So the first two of those, we got Preston Nichols now, but they claim to have worked there for the government and other nefarious people thereof. And the last, Mr. Swerdlow, claiming to have been abducted and experimented on there. So the short and the sweet of what was going on. Here's the Reader's Digest. Camp Hero Montauk Air Force Base was just a front.
Well, that's probably not the most accurate way to say it. That air base existed. People worked there. They had no idea what was going on under them.
Well, the installation was originally used for radar, but it was converted to do all this other crap, this psychological experiments on children, in 71-ish. And that went on through like 83 because they didn't need the giant radar anymore because they had satellites. Because
they had radar from MASH.
Exactly.
Some people claim that the reason this place was chosen was that radar dish put out a very specific frequency. And that frequency was the perfect frequency to penetrate these children's small minds.
Is that also the frequency that got all of our U.S. Whatever consulate to Cuba sick?
That's right.
Yes, yes. That's exactly it.
It makes people sick. It develops astral projection, and it can also microwave your popcorn if you're.
My first question was if that was really the case, then why weren't the kids that were like living next door to the base also?
John, I can explain that to you because those kids.
Wow. I've been waiting for this.
Those kids weren't subjected to the things that these other kids were to unlock their psychic potential. We'll get into that. Runaways, homeless kids, etc. were abducted in nearby New York areas and brought to the base. And to answer your question, they were systematically beaten and tortured, breaking their psyche so that they could be put back together as sleeper agents for the government and the powers that be.
I just thought that's how kids were raised back then.
Yeah, it was a simpler time.
Is that what Marvel's The Runaways is about?
Kind of,
these
right?
kids?
Yeah, it's loosely based. Now, I just, you notice I said the powers of be. I don't mean the normal powers of be, the Navy, the Air Force. I'm talking about the powers of be, the New World Order, reptilians, the Greys, who we learned researching Montauk were just a hybrid developed slave race.
Can we have one episode without the reptilians?
No, you may not. That the NWO, the reptilians and all of them, that's who was actually controlling these. That old chestnut, as you say, because it keeps fucking coming back.
What about the Bilderberg?
That's just part of the NWO, one of their meetings.
Oh, really?
No, yeah. Yeah.
I thought it was an actual group.
That's what they want you to think. So a code of phrase could activate them and they would snap into action these regular kids that they were experimenting on, or the beatings would unlock their dormant psychic abilities. That's where we're getting into. They didn't just pump that shit out and made these kids psychic. They had to have the X gene, I guess you could say. And those that survived this ordeal were then kept in the program. They say hundreds of thousands of children were killed during these tests all over the world. Montauk was just one of many places doing this. And it doesn't stop there. These children were sent while working at Montauk through stargates to other worlds for slave labor, sex trade, military purposes.
Pyramid building. It only makes sense.
They were sent back and forth in time on missions for the government, and tying in big time with way too many things we've talked about before, they were scared to the point of death so that adrenochrome could be harvested from their adrenal glands for the reptilians. The reptilians.
I thought that doesn't come out of the pineal gland.
It does. You're right. The pineal gland. You're right. You're right about something.
Penile?
Dynamic drop in, Joe. Thank you.
Why? It's so why. It's why I'm never allowed back.
Never coming back.
By the way, for all those listening who are interested, we are going to celebrate this, my last episode at Chuck E. Cheese after this. So be there at 7 o'clock tonight.
And we'll probably be leaving around 7:07 because he's not supposed to be in there. So be on time.
You banned?
So these kids,
everything's going to be okay.
These kids that they unlock their psychic abilities, they were taught astral projection for the purpose of spying on enemies and traveling with their minds across the vastness of space. Now you're thinking, that sounds crazy. That's something that we know that the U.S. government actually did investigate. And you might have seen that movie, The Minister of Coats. Astral projection is something that they were like, yeah, this is probably true. We're going to really work on this. And then, not to be outdone with all this hubbub, is the Montauk chair, a device someone with psychic ability would sit in and think of anything. A fucking light bulb, another chair, John Goforth.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
The chair would manifest that thing.
I tried
thing.
To think of the...
We used to roast them at Camp Onawana. Yeah, Camp Onawana. Yes.
Hey, dude.
No! It's a Slit Your Shorts.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Hey Dude was the Bar None.
Sorry, I got little my early out 90s a little Nickelodeon TV wrong.
Just Danny is rolling over in his grave.
I'm sure he is dead.
Mr. Ernst, what's he doing right now?
Adrenochrome.
I think he's wandering the Montauk base just in there.
Whatever happened to Pete and Pete?
Good question.
The little brother's the band. Actually, and I don't know what the older brother's doing. Probably, you know.
Why is it always the young ones that you follow, Brent?
He's like 35.
So young and tender.
So this chair would manifest things in the living world, and other children in the facility were used like an antenna that boosted that person's power. And with enough energy, it would become tangible. Not just like a hologram, which initially you'd see and it's just a hologram, but enough power and enough use of that giant antenna dish and all those other children, and boom, you got a real whatever you were thinking of.
So, Brent, you just covered a lot there. You covered the Montauk chair. You covered kids being used as antenna. You covered stargates where they would be used as slave labor on other worlds. Mm-hmm. You covered time travel. Mm-hmm. I think
Adrenochrome.
The adrenochrome, of course, the pineal gland, because the reptilians need to eat.
It's almost as though you guys just accidentally revealed where you got the entire lineup of topics for Hysteria 51.
Inconceivable.
I want to point out that if you want to believe in the Montauk Project, you don't necessarily have to buy into everything we just said. That's kind of like the entire bounty from all three of those guys.
People that
from,
don't believe in the Montauk Project as being anything that had anything to do with anything paranormal still believe, mainstream people believe that something was going on in Montauk, and I'll get into that later.
But what I'm just saying, like all of that, like you could believe Preston Nichols' story and it just has little of that, or Al Bielek's story has some of that, or Stuart Swerdlow's story has a lot more of that.
Doesn't exist.
But all of that put together is where you get all of that.
These three guys come together. But the thing about it is, and what I was just talking about is, let's forget the Montauk chair and the adrenochrome and stuff like that. I don't think it's that far-fetched to think that the U.S. government was conducting experiments on unsuspecting people, the population, children. I mean, look at, you know, we just found St. Louis. They experimented and actually did chemical dropping from planes on there. You got the Tuskegee Airmen.
No, sprayers. They put sprayers up in the projects.
They also had them on planes. That's why that was a big part of it was, ha ha ha, it's proven that they actually have done chemtrails. But yeah, they just put sprayers on the side of buildings and just bump the shit out.
I was down in Scottsdale the other day, and I think they might still be doing that experiment there, because I kept getting sprayed with some kind of crap every time I walked by a bar with outdoor seating.
That was pepper spray, and she was saying no.
My point
that
is...
That makes more sense.
All joking aside, gentlemen, what do you think? Like, is it that hard to think that the government could experiment on children? I mean, do you think that that's out of the realm of possibility?
Well, that's actually the biggest problem with these way far out there conspiracy theories. Like when we talk about reptilians raping them for their adrenochrome and traveling to the year 6000 to be slave labor on Mars.
In the year 6000.
Those type of conspiracy theories, that much crap takes away from possibility. Like we all get so numb to conspiracy, right?
Well, yeah.
And so we like, and then you find out stuff like St. Louis happened and you're like, holy shit, yep. There actually is some bad nefarious things happening.
We talked about in a previous episode, we talked about Project Paperclip, where they brought all these Nazi scientists over, and these Nazi scientists, and if you read the book Project Paperclip, we're doing things like this, experimenting on children, on twins, on people, killing, mutilating, doing horrible things. And we go, well, you guys have done a lot of research over here. We're going to go ahead and bring you over here, and we're just going to go around Nuremberg. You don't have to worry about going through there because, you know, you're a scientist. Is it that far-fetched to think that maybe these guys got in with the people that actually were somewhat of a, one might say, a sympathizer? And we're allowed to do nefarious things. Now, I'm not saying that that doesn't have anything to do with time travel or reptilians, but it can be just as fucked up with the things that the Nazis did do is that evil. And we brought a lot of those people over here and said, you now work for the U.S. government.
So if you go forward in time and experiment,
which Einstein says that's the easy way, backwards,
right,
not so much.
Exactly. So if we go forward in time 50 years and do experiments on a bunch of little kids in the future and then come back here and learn from it, did we actually experiment on those kids?
Yes, because that is
because they don't exist yet.
No, they do. That's just a tangent, and we break off on our own tangent. I mean,
well, no, because they don't exist yet.
I watched
even if it's tangential, it's going into the future.
But that'll still have happened.
Easy. And when we come back,
McFly, we break off on our own little tangent, and they're still out there somewhere getting experimented on.
I'm a scientist. I don't believe in anything.
All right, so yeah. there's a lot going on here. If you go do a little research on your own for the Montauk Project, you'll find that you can tie virtually any conspiracy theory from the 20th century. I'm not even kidding. To the Montauk Project. But for the purposes of this conversation, we're going to go to break here in a minute. But for the purposes of this conversation, we're kind of narrowing it down to these three gentlemen, the guys that we were talking about before, and what we're talking about specifically, not the stuff all over the world.
We shot an arrow through this whole thing and just said, we're going to talk about this because otherwise this could be its own podcast.
Exactly. And what we're going to talk about specifically is the kidnapping of boys from the New York area, the experimentation on those boys, trying to get them to have psychic abilities, the ability to use that Montauk chair to create things out of thin air, to create holograms, and maybe even bring those holograms to real life. We'll get into that more next on Hysteria 51.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And, you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know. It, and,
yeah.
if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have, both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times. And it's always now, right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Imagine if you could dry, detangle, style, and volumize your hair all in one step. Well, it's easy with the Knot Doctor All-in-One Dryer Brush by Conair. Create beautiful blowout styles at home with a powerful 1,000-watt motor for quick drying and Easy Glide Flexolite bristles for snag-free detangling. Customize styling with 3 heat settings and use the Cool Shot to lock in your look. Ionic technology reduces frizz, bonus attachment volumizes your hair, makes a great gift for yourself or someone special. Go to Conair.com for the Knot Doctor All-in-One Dryer Brush now.
Unwanted family guests are like fish. They start to stink after 3 days. So what's the best mattress for them this holiday season? Definitely not a Nectar. Then they'll never leave. Flip those fish your old mattress and put your human body on a Nectar. Prices start at just $499, and you get $399 in accessories thrown in, a 365-night home trial, and a forever warranty. A fresher deal than your mackerelly mother-in-law, right? Go to NectarSleep.com today.
It's Winona, not Winona.
I could have swore it was Winone.
Winone.
The good land.
I swear to God, we are going to try for you guys.
Wait a minute.
To have a topic soon that doesn't have reptilians in it.
But is it Rider then or Ritter?
I don't know. Knight Ritter?
Like the defunct publishing company?
Winona Ritter. Winona Ritter, that's it. Oh.
Nailed it.
Samsonite, I was way off.
Great job.
So we left you guys. We touched on these guys, Nichols, Bielik, and Swerdlow.
Swerdlow.
These cats.
Actually, we're the only ones who haven't touched on them. Well, at least Swerdlow.
We're here. We're going to break them down a little
bit. Speak for yourself.
So one of the best ways to learn about these cats is to watch the movie The Montauk Chronicles by Christopher Garitano. It's a documentary, and I'm saying that in quotes because he tells a story that these three guys tell and has some fun reenactments. And Garitano says it best himself. He doesn't try to sway the viewer one way or another. Basically, I think he feels these guys are full of shit, but he tells the story that they tell. And if you listen to interviews with him, he'll tell
you. If you listen to interviews with him, I can tell you one thing about the man. His voice sounds just like Michael McKean. Have you ever
fucking random?
It just sticks out to me.
Ever?
Have you ever? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Of course.
Better Call Saul. His Saul's brother. He sounds just like him.
He's a sweet, sweet ponytail like makeup man and creature creator Rick Baker.
He does not look like him.
Wait a minute. Is that really what he's best known for? I mean, he's Lenny from Laverne and Shirley.
I'm speaking to our audience.
Yes,
our audience isn't 50.
Well,
I mean, some of them are.
They
but
should be. Don't they have access
alienated
to
alienated all of our mature audience
well,
members,
hang on. Do
John?
They not have access to time travel?
They haven't been properly regressed yet.
Are they not in Montauk
right now? And we're
actually going to
talk age regression right now.
So, real quick, back to Garantano. He says these things because he truly believes something nefarious was going on in Montauk, just not to the extent that these cats say. And maybe it didn't have anything to do with the paranormal slant.
You keep calling them cats. Were they changed into cats?
With the, Montauk chair. Yeah.
Or are you channeling Sammy Davis Jr. right now?
So let's talk about these guys. John, tell us about Preston Nichols a little bit.
So he's actually from Long Island. He says he received degrees in parapsychology, psychology, and electrical engineering.
Actually, he watched the first Ghostbusters. I have degrees in psychology and parapsychology.
Yeah. Well, because parapsychology is a degree that exists.
I just want that for my resume builder.
I make the distinction because he never actually could produce proof that he had degrees in any of the...
Well, he was born in 1946, and they didn't keep paper back then.
That is true. And as we all know, all electronic records got wiped in the year 2000.
I saw that documentary, Escape from L.A., and it wiped out everything, if you remember. So
it did.
After graduating...
Snake Plissken.
According to him... Snake.
One of the best names ever, Plissken.
After graduating, according to him, he went into defense electronics and worked at Brookhaven and AIL.
Brookhaven National Laboratory. That's a
laboratory.
That's how they say it.
Wow.
Brookhaven Laboratory. That's actually where the first documented monster mash took place, in the laboratory.
That is
the mash.
True. That
it
is
was
true.
The monster mash. Working in my lab.
I was working late at night.
Oh,
why isn't a clip of that what gets played constantly on this show?
It should be.
It should be the
It is one of the greatest mysteries in the scientific world.
Why is that song still not played?
Damn it, talk about Preston Nichols.
Why?
I hate that fucking song.
Figured it out. According to Preston, his involvement with Montauk began in 1968. He claims he was told that stealth research started right after the Philadelphia experiment.
Man, he's hitting on everything here. He pulled out his book of conspiracies and goes, I'll make them all fit.
Yep.
I stand by my claim. The outline for Hysteria 51, it's all here.
So then, here's the best part. He then got pulled into mind sciences at Montauk. Because they were going to interface a person's mind to a computer.
Welcome to Mindhead.
Welcome to Mindhead.
I believe that's directly from Montauk. So Preston says he worked with Al Bielek. Wow, they worked together.
Mm-hmm, they knew each other. They go back. Too easy.
On the psychic aspects of the Montauk chair and the Montauk boys program, he said he trained the Montauk boys to be Psy Warriors.
Wasn't there a G.I. Joe named Psy Warrior?
What do you do for a living? Well, I'm an accountant, but I used to be a Psy Warrior. Why do you say it like that? I don't know, but every time I say Psy Warrior,
he happened to come up with the name right after he saw Nightmare on Elm Street 4.
Dream Warriors, right?
We can call our guys Psy Warriors.
Wait, was Freddy part of the Montauk project?
They made him in the chair.
They made him in the chair, yeah.
Okay.
So this is our favorite part of the pseudoscience that comes through all of these things, where they just start using words that sound kind of scientific. Because he says the Montauk chair used subtle quantum fields to read a person's thoughts.
Yeah, he says a psychic would lay or sit in the chair, go into a trance, and a group of coils pick the emanations, and a bank of radio receivers designed by Tesla would pick up and digitize the thought, turning thought into computer code, and that giant fucking radar tower then turned that computer code into reality.
Oh, side note on Tesla. Don't know if you knew this. Tesla didn't actually die when they say he did in that New York hotel. Mm-hmm. They actually just whisked him away to Montauk, where he became the head of the secret ops project. True story. Well, that's what they say.
He was a spry young age of what, like 127?
Yes.
That's why his autobiography ends so abruptly.
But Preston, it doesn't stop there. Here's what that's just the beginning of it. He says the chair was used for many, many purposes, such as opening vortexes for time travel. Another was to collect and amplify the energy of fear generated by the Montauk boys, like we said, that could be used to power the
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. Many Montauk boys, unfortunately, he says, were lost forever because they went through time and space and just never come back. They're just gone. Except they're all going to pop up somewhere. Like in 3037, we're just going to have a bunch of disheveled young boys. What the fuck's going on?
Wouldn't it be awesome if, as you were saying that, one of them just appeared in this room right now? He's like, oh, here I am.
Kill me.
There's just a here I am. Yeah. Hey, guys, what are you doing here? How'd you get to Montauk?
One other thing on Preston. He's a weirdo. He's a weirdo. Lots of people have some people have interviewed him, have been to his house, and lots of weird electronic
he's definitely
equipment.
Into that. He's definitely into electronics.
But the electronics don't really make it just like lights and buzzers that he says will, you know,
yeah.
do things.
Are you talking about Brent's basement?
Like reprogram your DNA, he'll tell yeah. you.
This is a Betamax machine plugged into a blender. No, my son, that's time travel.
Don't you see the crystal?
That's a plasmarometer.
That's a platinum phase generating Teslarometer. Mm-hmm. Oh,
quantum. Oh, yeah. Quantum Teslarometer.
What's it used for? Disrupting quantum fields.
Why is quantum like the like default word for
Joe, if you
for
don't
false
know,
science.
I don't think we should tell him.
Yeah, no.
Fair
no.
enough.
Yeah, you're out.
So then we got to move on to this other cat, Al Bielek. John, who's Al Bielek?
Well, Al Bielek also,
he's a little older.
He also worked on the Montauk Project, mm-hmm. But that wasn't his first foray into special ops for the military. He worked on the Philadelphia Experiment, or so
it's
he says.
All there, smoking
Yeah, before
gun.
Graduating high school. Now, this guy was born in 27, so he's old. He's dead now. He's old. And he took an electronics test and was the only one to pass in high school. And the Navy needed people like him during the war years, and they recruited him. But not just to be in the Navy. Not just the Navy, oh no. So while he was contracted for various military contractors, the people who worked with him began to reveal the truth about our involvement with extraterrestrials and psyops. And all those said PSYOP programs. And soon after, he was recruited into the Montauk Project, as you said, John. Here's where it gets truthful. He would work his normal job in California, then take the underground subway to Montauk, Long Island to carry out said duties. Mm-hmm. Now, I've told you guys forever that there are those underground passageways. He took them all the way from California to New York nightly.
It got him there in 30 minutes.
Yeah, now, Elon Musk built it.
I mean, that was in the early days. After time travel was perfected, he would simply be teleported to the underground base, then return back to his apartment at the time before he left so he could still get a full night's sleep. That's
nice of them.
That's
yeah,
generous.
Thoughtful.
It's, yeah.
Perks.
Yeah.
Like, that should be part of their employment branding. Perks and benefits.
See the world. Gets lots of sleep.
Free lunch. Travel. Time travel.
Travel and time travel.
Get back to the part where it talked about raping boys. What was that part?
Not required. Oh. This is how they employment brand it. Raping children, not required. Like, don't you want to work here?
So during the 70s, I was the program director for the psychics who manned the Montauk chair. So this guy was an electrician, but also the program director for the guys. So what they're saying is this guy can work in electronics. Why can't he understand and grasp the idiosyncrasies that is the human brain, take it apart and put it back together? Mm-hmm. I think he had the skills needed is what I'm getting at.
I completely agree. We also forgot to mention the Montauk chair might or might not have fallen out of a UFO.
Yeah.
So he
like
also
just fell out the back.
Yeah.
They were
like
overweight.
They left, like the Millennium Falcon when they're raising the thing
like
and they're
U-Haul.
Still standing
they left
on
the back
it.
Of the UFO
no,
U-Haul open.
No.
And it just fell out
the U-Haul
back.
FO.
They yes. had been in Venice. They were shopping. They took way too much shit home with them. They had to dump some weight. Get rid of the chair. It's on the fritz anyway.
So, obviously, Al Bielek also had the skill, being an electrician.
A very specific set of skills.
Yes. He had a very particular set of skills that allowed him to not only understand psychic children, being an electrician, he also understood alien chair technology.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's called reverse engineering, John. I mean, we touch on it.
We've
all
seen Paycheck.
Dude, how do you think? What do you think? Humans just invented sitting? No, we reverse engineered it from the aliens. We used to only lie or stand.
I did read about in the Middle Ages someone crouched once.
Well, that's how we used to poop.
That's true. I heard he got immediately excommunicated from the church.
The squatty potty.
New sponsor?
Oh. So. The thing is, because he was doing this shit, he was in regular contact with Preston Nichols. There's your Al Bielek Preston Nichols crossover shared moment. And then in the 80s, when time control programs were operational, Al participated in some of the time travel experiments. And he states he traveled to Mars on several occasions.
That's the magic flute. Use it, open the door.
But you're thinking, man, this guy knows a lot. Well, he now remembers several of the trips he took with teams to a research station in 100,000-year BC, other planets to get canisters filled with light and dark energy, and to the year 6037. But these memories were not always there.
Light energy, is that like in Transformers filling up an Energon cube?
Yeah. I'm a little peckish. Give me some Energon. So, but these memories weren't always there. We're saying these things. He didn't always. He just thought he was Joe Schmo, nobody. But in January 1988,
that's such an amazing name.
After seeing the movie The Philadelphia Experiment, his memory started returning, and Al believes his involvement with Montauk ended with that revelation. He started remembering things, and they're like, "Oh shit, he broke his shackles. Time to let him go."
Well, and he also figured out that he worked on the Philadelphia Experiment. And the way he was able to do all of this is
the Philadelphia Experiment.
Thank you,
Seba. It's been a while. The way he was able to do all of this, age regression.
Yeah. Is it possible that he actually just worked on the Philadelphia Experiment movie? And that's what he was remembering? Was he a key grip?
He was holding the boom mic, got hit in the head one too many times.
He woke up in a hospital with these vague memories of Scientologist stuff. Not like the religion.
It wasn't even that movie. It was The Final Countdown.
Now that's a good movie with a surprisingly good cast. I'm a fan.
Martin Sheen at his finest.
Final Countdown. Joe, it's time to get into your favorite and everyone at home's favorite.
Stewie
Swardlow. Stewart was born in Long Island, New York in the late 50s. See, late 50s. He's not quite sure, or at least he said so. And from an early age, remembers encounters with alien beings. We've told you a lot of shit about these guys. Stewart is next level fucking crazy out there.
No. Danger's my middle name.
These alien beings would come to him. He tried and he can't move in his bed. He's beamed out of his bed in beams of light. You know, that whole, the normal, quote unquote, normal abduction.
Tractor beams. Obviously.
He claims his birth was even more bizarre. The doctors told his mother there was no chance she could ever have children, and yet Stewart was born. He was picked up at night by what he initially thought was extraterrestrials and brought to Montauk. And later he learned that his hijackers were military officials working under the guise of extraterrestrials.
Don't be so overly dramatic about it, Chuck.
Later he learned they weren't military officials. They were high school classmates.
And he wasn't at Montauk at all.
So because of Stewart's quote-unquote special characteristics, as he calls them, he became part of the Montauk Genetic Experiment Program. And he says he later learned that only 1% of the people in the program ever survived. And Stewart became sort of an abnormality with special skills, as he says. And these skills were used extensively as a programmer of other Montauk boys. And while in Montauk, Stewart knew Al Bielek as one of the psychic program managers. So There's your connection. He knew of him.
Ooh, fun. I'll be the mummy.
So in 83, when the Montauk station was destroyed, Stewart went into a tailspin. He believes the station had a lock on him and in some sense controlled him. And when that lock was released, the station was shut down. He lost his identity.
Do you guys think, like, with Bielek supposedly being a psychic program manager, when he got hired originally, was he like a junior associate psychic and he worked his way up to program manager?
With hard work and dedication.
Part of like the job description,
yeah. room for growth
and a 7% pay increase and an office. You're not in a cubicle anymore, buddy. Al,
so
well done. You paid your time. You paid your dues.
Here's your gold watch. And he said, "I knew you were going to give me that."
So over the last year since he got out of there, Stewart's been working hard to successfully regain his identity, he says. He was put in federal prison to persuade him not to talk about his past. That's what I would say, too, if I was in prison.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's always why. That's why he was in
prison. What's unique to Stewart is that he never lost his memories of his experiences at Montauk. He's always remembered him, he said. And it said, Stewart is teaching others how to use the techniques used at Montauk for positive purposes. He teaches seminars how to align and enhance the mental capabilities of his students. And for a fee, he can teach you.
We're going to one of his seminars, right?
You don't need to because I have already taken care of it. In front of me right now, I have a 25-card deck, the Rhine symbol cards. One of the things he uses to unlock your psychic abilities. Now, you guys might have seen these in Ghostbusters. They're the cards that have, it's got a cross, like a plus symbol, a star, a square, squiggly lines, and a circle. Each one, these look like a deck of playing cards. John and Joe, we're going to see if you guys have any psychic abilities because Stuart Swardlow can teach you if you don't. So John, Joe, you're going to be with me here.
Wait, are you going to like start abusing me if
I am?
If
I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
You just don't remember it. That's why do you think Brent hid your copy of the Philadelphia Experiment?
So here we go. John, Joe, you're with me here. We're going to. What am I holding up?
Circle.
Nailed it.
Square.
This is a square.
Next.
Squiggly lines.
It's another square.
Oh, another square. He got you.
One more.
Square.
Oh, he's 33%, folks.
Yes.
I've lost squares in a row. All right, Joe. We're going to see if you got any.
Okay. Say when.
This is great audio right now.
Joe's an educated man. Now I really hate him. Here we go. What am I holding up, Joe?
Squiggly lines.
Fuck, it is squiggly lines.
Yeah!
Next.
Circle.
Nope. Cross. And worst. Last one.
Square.
Squiggly lines again.
Worst day of my life. What do you think?
I don't think that you guys have any psychic abilities.
No. Hey, we're both batting 300.
Stuart Swardlow charges $800 to literally put you through this, but there's like dials and buzzers connected to you. So,
that's what we're missing.
You're right.
And you being a mathemagician, I feel like this is barely even fair.
So we talked about this place was destroyed, and that's how Stuart Swardlow went into his downward spiral that you can learn all about in his self-help books and online classes and buying his cards that I paid for and all this shit.
Death followed him wherever he went.
He said it was destroyed. How, John? How was this fucking place destroyed?
Well, earlier we mentioned the Montauk chair, and don't think that wasn't going to come up again.
Uh-oh. What about Alan and...
They're the heroes of this story. And, Alan Preston.
Preston. I couldn't even think of it.
Alan Preston.
Preston sounds like the kind of guy that you go yachting with. Preston.
For as old as Preston was, I thought that was kind of that's a newer name. I was surprised that Preston was his name.
I mean, aren't they generally pretty cyclical names?
Yeah, I suppose.
I think so.
Yeah. They decide that enough is enough.
So what you're saying is they're heroes?
Just for one day? the stuff is going to be used for the wrong reasons, and it needs to stop right now.
Now, they were okay with the adrenochrome for the reptilians and all that shit, but finally...
Or beating the children, raping people in front of the children, murdering of children.
So they're making up a plan, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it was the 50s. Beating kids was pretty common.
Well, this was the 80s, but it was still pretty common.
Still pretty common.
According to legend, they meet at a local motel, Brent, and they devised a plan. That plan involved one thing. What did it involve?
An electric Sasquatch.
That is not just my future band name, but oh yes.
So good.
An electric Sasquatch.
Fucking say
it's
it with me
now. It's also an instrument, I heard.
Electric Sasquatch.
Yeah. So what do you play? Bass, and I dabble in electric Sasquatch.
So they're going to use the chair to create a monster to scare everyone away, thus needing to close down the facility. The problem is they go ahead and,
they use the chair.
They use the chair, and the Sasquatch becomes tangible. There's a little too much power behind it. It becomes a real electric Sasquatch.
The damn thing starts running amok, as electric Sasquatches are known to do.
That's the only way they ever run.
So they don't know. They don't know how to shut this thing down. So what do they have to do? Shut down Camp Hero.
Yeah. Now, thank God one of them happens to be an electrician. He crawls through muck and mire and everything and hacks away at everything and hacks away at the power grid, shutting it down. But no, it doesn't shut down because there's too much damn psychic energy from all these kids. The thing keeps running amok. Finally, they put an end to it. And that's the end of the facility. After some carnage, it's all shut down. And they go along with their merry lives. The end. Just kidding. This is happening elsewhere. And that was just one facility. That's the one story that we know of because they were the brave enough to come forward and tell us. So there's one. We found the one. We don't know where the rest are. That's just a little sliver
of
history.
If this was a movie, it pans up and then you see all these other ones.
That was level 4, then level 5 just below. It's the same shit. Level 6, dining area.
And all of the people that we saw die, like they're there again on that level because they're all clones.
Well, we referenced earlier the levels. There was supposedly 12 levels, and we referenced, there was stargates and there was time travel. Each of the levels focused on different parts of that.
Weren't there 12 levels of Dante's Hell? Was Dante running a Montauk location?
Right. This was level 4.
Was Dante at Montauk?
Oh, wow.
I mean, we had time travel.
Yeah, probably.
So the thing is, if we want to, peel this onion, Montauk base does have some secret shit hidden. No underground at all is on the plan. When you look at the blueprints for the base, there's nothing. But people have explored it. And if you watch the movie they were talking about, the Montauk Chronicles in the beginning, they go in there and explore. And there are ruins of subterranean parts, most of which are flooded or cemented off. But there's even an elevator that goes down, which it's not supposed to. So there's definitely things there that are off of the grid, so to speak.
So are you saying that this elevator is only able to go up? How exactly would that work?
When you're on the ground level, it also has many more floors that it goes down into the subterranean.
I see what you're saying.
So let's, real quick, forget the paranormal sci-fi shit. What are your thoughts? Do you think the government has ever stolen children for experiments?
I don't think I can forget the paranormal stuff.
Joe, what do you think? Do you think they've ever stolen children for shit?
I don't know, because the one thing that I find a little bit surprising about this entire story and everything involving it is
the one thing he finds a little bit surprising.
Mm-hmm. Right, because everything else is either shocking or mundane.
Oh, okay.
There's one thing that kind of like makes sense, but it's like, well, this I haven't seen. Like, couldn't somebody go back to the time periods that these guys are talking about and just like kind of do a little bit of research in the New York area and see how many missing children were going on?
So if you watch the movie, they actually talk about that.
Oh, they do. Okay. And I did not see the documentary. So
the 300,000 kids, let's say,
way to prepare, Joe,
was the number that he throws out. Stuart Swardlow threw out over this multi-year. Ooh. Every year, 5 million people in the world go missing. So he goes, 300,000 over 12 years is nothing when you look at those numbers. And, who's to say they were all from New York area? We're one of our upcoming cases is that missing 411, people that go missing in parks and things like that. So he's like, it's just a teeny tiny little fraction is what he said. Of the people that actually go missing.
And also, that's according to Stuart Swordlow, who has a double earring on the left side.
Don't forget to go to Swordlow's page, and you can pay money to learn about his double earrings, I'm pretty sure.
He's an adult man with rocking the double earrings.
So the thing about these guys, Joe...
If you don't have double earrings, how do you guys channel your psychic energy?
Oh, that's true. That crystal could be like holding the psychic energy. And
well, yeah, it's all about crystals about
I use
days.
Essential oils. I don't know about you.
Interesting. Is that why you're always so slick?
Yeah,
and shiny?
And I'm a Turkish oil wrestler on the weekends.
Oh,
so.
Okay. That contributes.
So the thing about these guys, Joe, when you go and you watch this if you watch these interviews... So Preston and Al look like old men that are just your kooky old men. They live in rundown little shanty shacks and shit like that. Then they go to Stuart Swordlow. He's got this nice house. You know, I mean, I'm not going to call it a mansion, but it's a nice house. He's dressed nice. And he looks like the biggest fucking shyster dude you'd ever want to see. Like him and Billy Mays summered together, you know, is the best way I can.
I mean, Billy Mays is one of my heroes. I did get a picture with him once years ago.
It wasn't at his funeral, was it?
Yeah. R.I.P. Billy. R.I.P.
So, John, hit me with your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I don't think you asked like three times in this show.
I haven't gotten an answer.
So far fetched to think that the government would kidnap children and run experiments on them.
No,
that is not far-fetched to think.
Yeah.
Do I think that happened in this case, even if we take the paranormal out of it? No. I don't think there's anything weird going on at Camp Hero. I think that this whole tale is... I mean, the guy said he thought he came up with it after watching the movie The Philadelphia Experiment. These are three crazy guys who came up with some shit. I don't know why they came up with it. Christopher Garitano said himself that the one of the main reasons that it interested him so much was because they've been saying it for so long and not profiting off of it. If that's your main, I don't know, proof or the main reason you believe somebody, listen, there's a lot of crazy out there and money doesn't necessarily have to drive it.
I say shit all the time. No one gives me money.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's anything to this one. It's a fun story, but that's where it stops.
I think the thing, Christopher Garitano was a big one. He, I think, made this because he feels that something was going on at the base and he wants to get to the truth of that. And if it means exposing these so you can get elsewhere, I like that because he goes as far, he tiptoes around saying these guys are fucking lying assholes, but he believes that something was going on there, obviously.
Yeah.
And thankfully, through freedom of information, as time goes by, we might learn some things. We might not. And the problem is, you can't really trust the government, any government, our government, your government, wherever you're listening. So,
Mother, do you trust the government?
So it's nothing too far-fetched to think that bad things happen. But then you get into Stargates. And I mean, we all know reptilians eat adrenochrome.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's a given.
But I think he just threw that in because he knew that was, everyone knows that. So it's the sticking point that everyone will go, well, okay.
Sky is blue, well, reptilians eat adrenochrome.
Right. Well, there is one other piece, though, that I do think is kind of hard to disprove with this whole thing is, if all of this wasn't true, how come no one has found evidence of a different origin for Sasquatch?
Electric Sasquatch, I'll thank you.
I mean, that's the cool Sasquatch, but there's other behind-the-scenes Sasquatches that are making him tick.
Sasquatch.
They haven't felt it.
Sasquatch.
They haven't found it yeti.
Oh!
Crushing it, electric Sasquatch.
Brent, do you think, two questions. One, did the paranormal shit happen at Camp Hero?
Absolutely not.
Two, did nefarious stuff happen with non-paranormal related at Camp Hero?
Probably.
There you have it. Brent's wrong. I'm right. What do you think, Nation? Get on Hysteria Nation. Go to Facebook. Log on. Search Hysteria Nation and tell us what you think.
Also, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod, where you can find this and other episodes on Facebook.
We are also on Twitter, @Hysteria51Pod.
And while you're trying to get in touch with us, one way to do it is with the voicemail.
773-669-7277.
Again, that's 773-669-7277. Big news. You might have heard it last week. We joined a network, John.
That's the Poop Culture Extended Universe.
The PCEU.
Everything's in the name. Everything's in the name.
There's a lot of other shows. We're going to be posting about them on Hysteria Nation and on Twitter. Don't forget to check them out. Hashtag PCEU. Search that on Twitter. You can find the posts from all of our other shows. And don't forget to tell a friend. And while you're telling a friend, tell them that they need a t-shirt. Go to TeePublic. T-E-E Public. Search Hysteria 51. You can find all our swag on there.
Rate and review the show. Go to Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars and write a nice review. It can be a mean review as long as it says 5 stars.
Yes, that's right.
We've gotten a lot of awesome reviews lately. On the next episode, we'll read a few of them. So you've got a little time. Go get one in right now. Do us a favor. It helps spread the word. Spread the love of Hysteria Nation.
While we're spreading love, we should probably give a little bit of love to our guest this evening.
Who, Conspiracy Bot?
Yes.
Word.
And his buddy, Joseph Peck.
Packer!
Joe, thanks for being on the show again.
Man, it's appreciated. Like I said to all of you listeners, we'll be at the Pizza Hut on Harlem Avenue if you want to meet us after the show.
So Showbiz Pizza on Cicero.
That's right.
Yeah, don't forget, we're going to be there. So if you guys, and I think it's one of the best Godfathers in town. So don't forget, with that said, I've been Brent.
I'm Joe.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
Thanks for listening to Hysteria 51, a weekly oddcast of conspiracy theories, mysteries, and the unexplained. We'll be back again next week with more known unknowns. If you'd like us to discuss a particular topic, suggest a guest, or simply seek some truth, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the show at hysteria51podcast@yahoo.com and follow us on Twitter at hysteria51pod.
Just heard was a podcast in the Poop Culture Extended Universe. For more great podcasts, make your way to www.poopculture.com.
You've been listening to a fourth hand joint.